Welcome to Calvary Chapel, Kampala. And we're taking a break from the Book of Psalms. We'll resume in January, and Romano will be teaching on a series of faith. So welcome to Alan on Wednesdays with Romano for about 5 weeks. All right, let's open up the Book of John, the very last chapter, the very last bit. We get to finish the Book of John today. Anybody has been around from the very beginning? We've been through the life and ministry of Jesus Christ through the Book of John. And today, it's almost like graduation for us. And we are left with a question as Jesus puts this question to Peter. Do you love me? Do you love me? Let's pick up from verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, Lord, yes, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you are younger, you guarded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will guide you and carry you where you did not wish to go. This is spoken signifying by what death he would be glorified. I would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for revealing yourself to us through this book. Thank you so much for just walking with us, talking with us, praying for us, healing us, teaching us, leading us, Lord, strengthening us, guiding us, and preparing us for heaven. Lord, as we wind up this book, Lord, we just want to think about you and think about these words that you leave us with, whether or not we love you. So Jesus, challenge us as we study this word to just love, adore, and worship you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In my culture, when you have to confront somebody, even a parent who has to confront or even discipline a child, you do it after a meal. You don't do it before a meal. You kind of ruin the whole meal. Looks like it's the same in the Jewish culture because this was after breakfast. Everybody had enjoyed the meal. Maybe they were thinking, all right, maybe lunch is in 2 hours. He's going to make us lunch. Well, probably this is beyond what they expected. Breakfast is over. Jesus turns to Peter. He singles him out, looks him in the eye, and he asks him 3 times about his love for him. Peter, do you love me more than this? Probably pointing to the fish. Do you love me more than fish? Peter, I know you love fish. That's why I made it for breakfast. Do you love me more than fishing? I found you fishing. I know you like fishing, Peter. Do you love me more than you love fishing? And the word Jesus uses here is agape. Do you unconditionally love me? Do you selflessly love me? Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. And the word he uses is actually not agape, it's phileo. Lord, I'm your friend. This is Peter. In Matthew 26:33, Peter said, Lord, even if everybody falls away from you, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made sin, I will never leave you. Lord, I will die with you. I'll make sure you actually don't die. I'll defend you, Lord. Now is the question. Do you love me more than you love fishing? I know you promised you'd defend me. I know you promised that you'd actually die with me. You promised to follow me even when everybody runs away. Obviously, that didn't happen. You know the story. Do you love me, Peter? Peter says, I'm your friend, Lord. Second time, Peter, I wonder why he had to mention his father's name. Peter, son of Jonah, do you sometimes don't like to be identified with the parents, right? Just call me by my name. Forget about my dad. Peter, son of Jonah, I know you. Do you love me? So first, do you love me more than the fish or anything else? Second, okay, do you love me? Peter said, yes, Lord. He still uses the word phileo in Greek. Lord, you know I'm your friend. For the third time, this must have made Peter very uncomfortable. You read there, he was grieved. For the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, now this word is different. Am I your friend? Jesus uses the word that Peter used to answer. Phileo, am I your friend? Peter says, I think he has no more answers. Lord, you know everything, don't you? You know I've denied you three times. You know, I went out fishing, I ran away from you, went out fishing, I caught nothing. You know that I did not follow you as I promised. You know that I am so impulsive and foolish, and I often make poor decisions. Lord, you know everything. And he tells him three times, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep. As if that wasn't enough, Jesus then tells him a rather chilling statement. Peter, when you're younger, you walked around and did everything you wanted. Now, you're older, everything is changing. You're not going to do the things that you want to do. Somebody else is going to be in control of your life. And it's not actually going to end like you think. He was talking about the manner of death Peter would die. He would be crucified upside down. He said he wasn't worthy to be crucified like his Lord. And in Rome, he was crucified upside down. Peter was to demonstrate his love for God by feeding his lambs, by tending his sheep, caring for his sheep, by feeding his sheep, teaching the truth, that is feeding the sheep, but also caring for people, tending. There's a difference between just teaching people and tending people, caring for people. Don't just go around spreading the message, do you really care about those people? So you go tend them. And he eventually tells him, in verse 19, follow me, come after me. The first call that he gave to Peter and Matthew and the rest is the same call that he gives them prior to his departure. Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Do you love me? Then you follow me. It is the very same command. And when Jesus repeats himself, you know he is emphasizing something. Three times he wants, not just because he's insecure, he doesn't have anybody who loves him, so he wants Peter to love him. No. Peter, do you have your priorities right? Is the question. And all the other followers of his and all of us, do we have our priorities right? Do you love the Lord? Are you doing that which he commanded you to do? Are you tending? Are you feeding? Are you caring? Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciples, verse 20, whom Jesus loved, that's John, who also leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, who is he who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, how about this man? You like Peter? Are you going to confront John as well, Lord? And Jesus said to him, if I will that you remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. You do your part. And this saying went around among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say that. He would not die, but he said, if I will that he remains till I come, what is it to you? So Peter is thinking, okay, God, that is a huge rebuke in my face. Would you also rebuke John? Are you like that? We're all like that, aren't we? Lord, how about the other person who is sitting there? You're calling me to do something. How about the other person seems to just be lazy, sitting around doing nothing? Why me? Why don't you call them instead? Sometimes we listen to the word of God and we're thinking, I know that message is for somebody I know. They should have been here to listen to it. We even record the message and we give it to them. We send them a message. Could you please listen to that someone? Peter, why do you care about John? This is your man. This is your word. This is your message. This is your challenge. You go do what I've called you to do. And from this point on, your life is not yours. It's mine. How would you answer Jesus if he asked you straight in your face the questions that he asked Peter? And he is obviously asking each one of us that question, isn't he? Do you love me? I know you love fish. I know you love your food. I know you love breakfast, free breakfast. Who doesn't like free breakfast? I know you love your wife and children. I know you love your home. You love your relatives. But do you love me? And there are two extremes in our Christian walk. A neglect of love for the Lord as priority, and then you go into just busyness, right? So you can, as Peter, go fishing without the Lord, or you can just be busy for the Lord and you don't even care about him. I'm just working and working and working. I don't even listen to my master. Two extremes. Peter, all of us are challenged here with this question, and it is one that should cause us to have our priorities right. You could be busy, right, just doing things for the Lord, and you're not even paying attention to him, you're not even talking to him anymore, but just busy for him. There are people that you can employ or hire to take care of your compound, whatever it is. And sometimes they get so lost in doing whatever you ask them to do, they do it the wrong way. Right? And you keep telling them, hey, I told you to do that. And it's like, I know what I'm doing. You know, I'm the electrician here. I'm not even listening to you. Like, but I hired you, you know. You should listen to your boss. And we can be that way, just busy, busy, busy. We don't even care to listen to our boss, to our master. Or we can, as Peter, this is too hard. Let me go back home. Let me go back to the village. Let me go back to my old job. And especially for Peter, it's been so much within the last 3 years. So many mistakes, so many failures, so many challenges. I mean, Peter would be a terrible failure, would call him. But even a failure like Peter is not thrown out by God. God does not throw at anyone. What matters most is, do you still love him? You will fail in this life. You will make foolish decisions. You will sin terribly. You will lose yourself. But do you love the Lord? Because that is the one thing that is going to cause you to get back on track. Everybody fails. We all fail. And we can get stuck where we failed. We can go fishing and we fail fishing and we stay not just one night but 100 nights trying to fish and completely catch nothing. We just can just stay in our failures. Peter, you failed. I know it. Peter, you've denied me 3 times. Peter, you have A, B, C, D, and the list goes on. But, that aside, do you love me? Peter, you are a strong leader. You are a man of faith. You are the only one who walked on water. Do you love me? Peter, you've been following me for the last 3 years. You left your family. We actually told in the book of Acts that Peter actually had a family. You left your wife at home for all this time. Well, Do you love me? That is the very first command that God gave us. The very first command that God gave us was to love him. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 5, the first 10 commandments. Right? Exodus 20. What did God say? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's where it all began. Before you do anything for the Lord, Peter, before you go out and become the first pope, before you go out and be crucified upside down, do you love me? Before you go out and die for me, do you love me? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 5 was read out loud to the Israelites. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, start from the heart, with all your soul, all yourself, and all your mind, and all your physical strength. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy. The lawyers, very good at arguing, come to Jesus Christ and they ask him, Lord, which is the greatest commandment? We have hundreds of them. Which is the greatest law? Which is the most powerful law? Which is just one law that I have to memorize and obey that summarizes everything? And Jesus quotes the same scripture. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one, and you shall love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is like the first, love your neighbor as yourself. And he told them, that's it. That is the summary of the Bible. Love God, and go serve his people in love. There's a church in Revelation that Jesus himself writes to. In Revelation 2, verses 2 to 4. The church of Ephesus, the Ephesian church. We see Paul writing to the Ephesians, the letter to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. This was at one point happening in Ephesus. In Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 to 4, Jesus told the Ephesians, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear with those who are evil. You are righteous. You preach holiness and you live holy lives. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not. You deal with false teachers and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience. You've been persecuted, but you have not abandoned the faith. You're patient. And have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. You are doing missions. You're praying. You're working. You're teaching. Isn't that a good church? Isn't that a good church? Yes. But what was the problem with the church? Everything was running without God's help. Just like any other organization. Everything was being done with no help, no talking to God, no dependence on God whatsoever. Nevertheless, I have this against you that you have left your first love. You're doing those things for the sake of them. You don't care about me anymore. You don't listen to me anymore. You don't talk to me anymore. You don't depend on me anymore. Are you that way? You've figured out this Christian thing. You don't need Jesus anymore, right? No. It begins with our love for God. And everything else should flow out of a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you find yourself just running and going and missions and you're patient, you're laboring, you're beating up all the false teachers, you're confronting all the false apostles, you don't love God, it's nothing. 1 Corinthians 12, it benefits you nothing. Are you doing them because you love God? Are you listening to him who is giving the command? Are you talking to him on a regular basis? We can be very good at gathering like this as a church every week, but do you gather with the Lord by yourself sometime during the week? Just you and the Lord. And to talk to him and to listen to him. Busyness, outside the Lord, dangerous extreme. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul talks about the other extreme, being held back in history. Right? There are people, we are in 2015 right now, there are people who are still stuck in 2010. Everything that happened in 2010 is still holding them back. Failures. Whatever it is. Sin. Mistakes. And they're being held back by the past. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, you know what Paul says? Not that I have already attained, this is the Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary ever. Or, I'm already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold on me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul had so dark a past, a history, killing Christians, thinking he's serving God. And God calls him and told him pretty much what he told Peter. Peter, when you are younger, you went out and danced in the rain. Anybody did that when you're younger? When it was raining and the parents are not home? It doesn't happen these days. I don't know what happened to our world. When I was in primary school, you know how we do PE? Okay. You try it these days. It doesn't work, does it? Paul, you are younger. You are immature. You did things that I can't even talk about. But that is not the end, Paul. I'm giving you a new beginning. You go out and preach to the very people you tried to kill. That was hard. And for some, it took them years to trust Paul. That guy, the one who killed Christians? No way. Let's give it time. Is he really a Christian? Is he born again? Let's give him time. And so much. And Paul, writing to the Philippians, who probably are stuck in history, tells them, I'm not perfect. I'm still a work in progress. God is still changing me. The one thing I don't want to hold on to is history. I don't want to hold on to my past failures and past mistakes and past sinfulness. I want to grow. I want to keep going forward. Not the political guy, but we want to keep moving on to the things that God has for us in the future. I was talking to a friend last week, and he has a bad experience with friends. So many people have disappointed him in this life. He told me, right, I don't trust anyone. I don't want to make any more friends. Look, I had good friends. I was a good friend to them. They have all left me. And I told him, you know what? Just keep making more friends. Or maybe you can start with the babies. They won't disappoint you. By the time they disappoint you all, you won't even care. Failed relationships, and you're thinking, man, I'm not going to try again. I'm done with that. Failed mission trip, you go there and almost miserable and beaten out of it. And you're thinking, I'm not going back. I'll just stay here. No. We should not be chained to our past. God has more for us in the future. Peter, I know your failures. And everybody, it's time to embrace that which I have for you. Go and tend my sheep and feed them and teach them and make sure you are following me, Peter. It's very easy to lose yourself. And it's very easy to sit there and weep and pity yourself and cry and never progress. He says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus Christ. Christians, our past doesn't matter. God erases it. It's our future that we need to embrace. And God has great things for each one of us, just like he had for Peter. And we should go and embrace them. We should go tend his sheep, feed his lambs, care for his people, follow him. And he has so much for us ahead. Forget your past. Even as regards age, look at Peter. Peter, when you're younger, you went out. If Jesus was speaking to me, he would have told me, when you're younger, you went out and played volleyball and it was so much fun. And you did it for 15 years. And you wanted to keep going. Not anymore. The end. A new chapter is beginning. And there are things that as we grow older, we have to drop. It is an ugly sight to see people grow up in age and never grow up in real life or even in their Christian faith. Do you like to see that? No, nobody wants to behave like a teenager anymore. Right? I can do that in my bathroom. I can dance like a teenager in my bathroom. I can sing like them in my bathroom. Not anything offensive, but you know what I'm saying. You become a father, you behave like a father, right? You get married, you have to behave like a married man. There are married men who behave like they're single, right? Like they don't even have children. Ladies, you're a girl and then you're a mom, all right? Dress up like a mom, behave like a mom. Everyone. We're younger, we did childish things, all right? We played in the dirt. Whatever we did. We're babies in Jesus Christ. We didn't know much. Now that we know, this life does not belong to us anymore. Amen? It is God who says, the end to yourself, and I have a new mission for you. Those days are over. And sometimes we call them the good old days. I don't think they're really good. The best things are yet ahead. In John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus told his followers, if you love me, Peter, if you love me, John, Mary, Magdalene, each one of us, if you love me, then what are you supposed to do? Keep my commandments. Your answer is yes, all right? We can say that, yes, Lord, we love you. And then Jesus says, thank you. Then you go and keep my commandments. You go be a Christian. You are a Christian? Yes, Lord, we are Christians. Then you go be Christians. Are you a soldier? Yes, I'm a soldier. Then you go be a soldier. You're a farmer? Yes, Lord, I'm a farmer. Then you go farm. And we can be unfruitful worrying about John. Okay, God, I'm a farmer, but what are the engineers doing? Are they doing their job? Well, God, I am a, whatever you are, a doctor, but government is not building the roads. Right? And we can, Lord, what about those people? How about the other ones? How about, forget about them, God will speak to them. God speaks to you personally. And you should not worry about everybody else and their destiny, their path, their race, their ministry. Fulfill your ministry. Peter, your job is going to be wandering around telling everybody about my love. Don't worry about John. John may not be gifted to wander around like Peter and Paul. Maybe he's just a pastor in Jerusalem who is going to stay there and just love people. And that is his ministry. And that was his ministry. John writes about love than any of them. Paul wandered off the entire three continents. Peter ended up dying in Rome, and all the others scattered as far as Asia, North Africa. John stayed in Jerusalem, persecuted deposed off to an island to die, and then God gives him revelation. God has a different ministry for everyone. Right? And you should not worry about somebody else not fulfilling their ministry. You should check yourself. Am I fulfilling mine? Are you fulfilling your ministry? Are you expressing your love for God by doing those things that He told you to do? In verses 24 to 25, this is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they are written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. And he says, Amen. God's word, accurate. And his work, John says, we could not record everything. There's not a book big enough for everything that Jesus did to be written down. We just have an edited version. All the Gospels edited. They did not write everything. If they did, then we would have to read from Australia to the California of a book. You walk around all your life just reading the account of Jesus Christ preaching in 3 years. It would not be enough. There's nothing that could have been able to contain everything Jesus did. And God continues to work. He's not finished. Each one of us is continuously challenged to go out and fulfill their ministry. Amen? Let's stand and pray. Jesus has revealed himself to us so many ways. He has shown us his power. We've seen him as the light of the world. We've seen him as the bread of life, the good shepherd. We've seen him as the door to heaven, the way, the truth, and the life. We've seen him as the true vine. He has shown us his face. There's only one thing we have to be asking ourselves every day. Do we love him back? He has died for us. We killed him on the cross. He rose again to give us everlasting life. And again, the question is, do we love him back? If we do, then we need to be obeying his commands, going out to fulfill the work that is given us. Amen. Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for challenging us as we finish this book, Lord. Thank you so much for your love. Lord, if we say that we love you, it's because you first loved us. And we have received that love. We have seen it. We have touched it. We experience it every day. We see your love, oh God. We see your face, we see your healing, we see your power, we see your might. We experience new life. But we have the privilege of dumping every sin on the cross. We have a privilege of letting our past behind. We don't even want to look back, oh God. Lord, you have so much for each one of us ahead. Lord, we want to devote ourselves to follow you. We want to devote ourselves to obeying. We want to devote ourselves to fulfilling that which you've called us to do. And each one of us has one, two, or three, or four things that you've called us to do. We want to fulfill those ones. And as we do that, Lord, we want to continuously be in touch with you. We want to be attentive to you, Lord. We want to always talk to you. We want to always fall down and worship you. We want to just sit there and enjoy your presence, enjoy your power. We just want to just sing to you, just adore you, just honor you. But help us make it priority every day before we do anything else to just fall down in our feet, to sing, to talk, to listen, to honor you. But we want to be those who to love you before we do anything else. Before we go out, before we do anything else, we just want to love you. Just want to adore you. And out of that adoration is going to come inspiration to go out and deliver your message. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.